Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we're here at Heritage Radio Network, Roberta's Pizza. It's just started to rain a whole lot in Brooklyn. The sky just kind of broke, but that's probably good news for all you gardeners out there. I'm sure you're looking forward to that. And speaking of homemade stuff, homegrown, I don't know, homemade meals. Let's just go with that. I have a guest on who started a wonderful startup called MealCo, the Homemade Meal Cooperative. And it's all about making your own food and sharing it with others. Ted De La Cruz, or is that right? Or no?
Ted De La Cruz will do. Ted De Cruz.
Okay, got it.
Actually, Ted De Cruz Young, but that's fine.
Okay, thanks so much for being here, Ted De Cruz. I should have asked that before.
That's fine. I was just walking by. I thought I would do a radio show right now.
So MealCo is what? Can you briefly describe like the basic gist of it?
It's just basic humanity. It's a cooperative first and foremost, which is actually rare. This time, you know, we tend not to cooperate very much. It's a food swapping engine.
Okay.
So, you know, when you happen to be cooking a delicious meal for yourself or your friends or family, like in the old days, you should share it.
Right.
With neighbors.
Okay.
And having shared it with them, they'll reciprocate in kind. So it's a reciprocal network.
So swap is the key word here because, yes, we all know about sharing and then maybe selling or having a lavish dinner party of sorts in order to share that you sell tickets for. But this is actually no money exchanges for the meals. You're just expected to reciprocate.
It's a difficult... funnily enough, it's a difficult concept for people to get their head around at times, that, you know, the idea of cooperating, but it's a pay it forward model. So you share what you happen to have, and the thing about cooking is it's very inexact, so you always have stuff that's available, so you should use it.
Right.
Something like 40% of all the grocery that we buy ends up in the garbage, which is like the height of insanity.
And it's more efficient too when you're cooking more than just one portion.
Well, it is, and you know, then you get the upside of, you know, reciprocal approbation. You know, so thanks so much for cooking me a lovely dinner. That's nice. That's good for the soul.
Huh. Very interesting. Were you inspired by anything else in creating this model, or how did you come up with it?
No, I'm inspired by lots of things. I'm frustrated by more. So I think the reality is that we have a system that's completely unsustainable. We can't all consume and buy everything that we want. We don't. The Pacific Ocean isn't big enough for the junk we're not consuming, let alone the stuff we are. So I just think we're deeply inefficient, and we're inefficient because we're greedy and myopic. And it would be great if we did things and created systems where we were more connected. You know, this used to be, you know, this was the way it was. You know, I obviously don't come from here.
Speaking of which, you're from Scotland originally, but you've been in New York for how long?
I've been in New York for 11 years.
Okay.
And my accent is developing beautifully, thank you. But
I didn't understand anything you just said.
I think where I come from and where many people come from, you know, in small towns across America, you know, there's a level of connection and humanity that still goes on, and
potlucks.
We bother about our neighbors. Yeah,
block parties.
Yeah, we don't expect. Yeah, but we don't expect you know, from a systemic perspective, we still expect something in return much of the time, rather than just knowing that if we put it out there, it's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we've created this thing that helps to facilitate that.
I'm very
excited.
That's
all. It's that simple.
And so far, what do you think about, because you've been around for a couple months now,
yeah.
and you have about 300 or so
yeah.
very active members.
Very active, not half as active as we would like, but I think the, you know, the reality is that, you know, that departure where, you know, people understand that cooperation and reciprocity are at the heart of it, as opposed to finance and mm-hmm. and you know, kind of short-termism, it's a departure,
right.
So we're finding that you know, it can take people a bit to get their head around it.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I would say that I'm sure you've heard this 800,000 times and still think about it. Questions like, what happens if somebody intentionally or unintentionally poisons everyone in there?
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. So we're sitting in the lovely Roberta's,
mm-hmm.
which is not an average pizza joint, but there are many, many average pizza joints where we've outsourced our thinking on food,
right.
And we've outsourced,
that is,
you know,
true.
So the idea that, you know, someone on a minimum wage has the same intention in cooking as someone who's cooking it for themselves and their family is frankly absurd.
Uh-huh.
And
there was a scary YouTube video of I forget which franchise of some big fast food place peeing in like French fries. Or
yeah,
something. Yeah.
There's a great game in one of the chains. And I'm not going to name names. I mustn't. But where they throw, you know, if someone complains about a steak, they throw it on the ground and play hockey with it, lightly grill it till it's crisp, and then take it back.
Mm-hmm.
So look, you know, I think the idea, you know, we've got a lot of false certainties in our system.
Right.
We were rudely awoken, you know, a number of years ago that, funnily enough, you know, the finance industry did not have our best interests at
right.
heart. We understand that,
or just that something's in a package, like a pack of washed, AKA, you know, spinach or something.
Yeah, I mean, the very idea. So I think we've got to just think for ourselves. We've got to build networks ourselves and look after each other. I mean, that, you know, let's not pretend as though the A, B, or C on the window says too much. And let's ask the question, why did we put the A, B, and C up? Because nobody believed it in the first place. And what has changed since we have? Well, nothing.
And, you know, people who are members or cooks on the site can have their own, like, levels of trust that are shown through people's own testimonials and
yeah,
they get reviews.
So everything's
and so
very
forth.
Transparent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone who cooks on the site, we know, we've met, we've either visited their house. You know, everyone has to meet a certain
person. Everyone.
Every single person.
Okay.
Yep. And, you know, beyond that, you know, we're looking not just at your, you know, how you comply with, you know, basic hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we ask a number of psychometric questions, which get to motivational intent. So everyone is meeting those standards. But more than that, you know, we've now delivered hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meals,
right.
And we don't have any negative. Not one. It'll come for sure. There's going to be negative. But I'd like to see any industrial mm-hmm. food establishment meet that standard. They can't, because it's all an intent. So there's no amount of regulation you can put in place here if people don't want to do things for the right reasons.
But you can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about it.
So if I want to share my meals on Mealku, before I can do that, you're going to come take a look at my freezer and
if we see any funky stuff, you know, you don't get in. And let's be clear, we're not... We're rejecting people. We're not happy to reject people, but we are rejecting
people. You are rejecting people.
Absolutely.
For funky stuff.
Yeah, just, you know, if it doesn't seem right.
That's,
you know, and look, yeah. We're not going to pretend as though we have mad science applying for that either. It's simply a function of if something doesn't add up, one of our members will go and visit other members begat members, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't like what they see, then, you know,
Well, it sounds like you're doing this with a serious passion, which is maybe not what the health department, you know, a low-paid worker who's checking off a list gets. No,
well, you know, and that's
I'm not making assumptions here.
Assumptions, all assumptions aside, I think we've got to ask the question, you know, if we want to look after ourselves, if we want to eat well, is price really the point that we should be measuring nutrition?
Mm-hmm.
We've got into a system that it's all about cost. Food is about cost. It's about cost management. It's not about nutrition. And therein lies the insanity.
And what do you mean food is all about cost?
It's about ever-decreasing cost. That's why, you can go to one of these big box stores and buy, you know, literally massive boxes of cereal for, you know, that last you 6 months. And that cost, you know, a ridiculous amount of money. Low. Why? You know, why are we doing that? Why do we think we should be doing that? It's not about cost. Food shouldn't be about cost. Yet we have a system that's completely centered on reducing the cost. And as we reduce the cost, what happens? The food gets crap. You know, we get more and more processed stuff that does nothing for us. We get more and more allergies emerging. We can see what's going on. It's completely unsustainable.
What if a member decides to distribute? Like, do you have any overseeing of what kind of ingredients they use, or do you just kind of?
We have to let them to establish, you know, let them establish trust. And I think you know, we're seeing the emergence of lots of subgroups, whether it's, you know, gluten free or, you know, certain allergies or certain specific food needs and preferences. And And, you know, we let those members who lead those efforts be the judge of you know, whether those entering and whether the group itself is has the interests of everyone at heart. So, but I think I would rather be part of a tribe, or, you know, if I have celiac, I'd rather be part of a tribe of other celiacs and allow that food discovery to happen than have Kraft tell me that there's no gluten in it.
Anything,
actually.
Because you've met them all.
Because you met them all.
That's very cool.
And because they're human. And because they have the same challenges you have.
Absolutely. Very cool. And so you also plan social meetups within for members here and there?
Yeah, you know, just trying to, you know, make as many connections as we can. So, increasingly, it's not a function, it's not for us to decide, you know, what events should be taking place, but what members want to do. So if you have a particular interest that you'd like to develop, sausage making, for instance, we have a sausage making group. Then you know, tell us about it, and if there's enough members interested, then we'll create something.
Cool.
It's that simple.
So they initiate the...
In lots of instances, they're initiating...
The party or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be.
Yeah, the get-together, the...
So was this something that you were kind of doing for a time on your own with your friends?
I've always done it with my friends.
Share? Okay.
You know, just... And it seems... it seems so, you know, bleeding obvious to me. Where I got to was, you know, I have a couple of kids, and you know, you see the evolving food habits. When I was young, I ate real food. You know, like meat tasted like meat, and carrots tasted like carrots, and cabbage was like cabbage, funnily enough. And now my kids are, they're not getting real food, and. I think you become very, very acutely aware with kids that they've got to get proper food. Combine that with what I think is, you know, the end of the social contract, 2008 onwards, and a whole bunch of variables. And we need this sort of stuff, a necessity is the mother of all whatever. And in this instance, you know, we need to do something where people are making proper food, sharing proper food, wasting an awful lot less, connecting an awful lot more, and being a damn sight more human.
I'm looking at right now a package that MealQ uses for deliveries, which are done by bike fleets.
Right now it's bike, but we'll have drop off and pick up points across the city.
Okay, and it's really cool. There's a confirmation number on it. Contents, the space where you can fill out blah 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 meal, whatever you created, and then a little message box where you can write instructions or just love on
it. To share the love.
To share the love. And this package is food safe and insulated, or just kind of like airtight, and
it's insulated. It's recyclable. It's a baggie. What can
it's
I say?
It's a baggie. Very cool. I mean, I'm still like wrapping my head around it. I can't believe like it's such a great idea and concept. And you know, all the things you were saying about sharing food, I get and I love. And I love having parties for friends when I have too much stuff in my fridge. I've always done that. But the idea of biking it over to a bunch of people's houses is like just kind of taking it to another level. So I'm very excited.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Let's go to a quick little commercial break. We'll be back with Ted DeCruz Young from Meal Crew in just a couple.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Stitcher? Heritage Radio Network is on it, so get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In. Today's guest is Ted DeCruz Young of Meal Crew, and he's one of the three co-founders of this new startup, which is Meal Cooperative, and it just started 2 months ago. I meant to mention about these envelopes that I was trying to describe, and I'm sure you can't visualize it until you see it, but they're really beautiful. And Ted tells me that you can just put the food directly in here without having another container inside another container inside yep. another container, which is
no
so
more containers.
Yeah, which is so the status quo of most like takeout food.
Yeah, let's wrap it. Let's put it in polystyrene and then wrap it in plastic and then stick it in some more plastic.
And then the bike messengers take these and on their baskets or whatever.
They've got little cooler bags they write about with.
Without a double bag of randomness.
Yeah, there's absolutely no need. You know, and these are you know, tiny cents on the dollar, and obviously recycle.
And they're different, though. I'm sure a lot of people look at them and say, huh, that's not a food package.
People put them on their head quite often. They wear them, which
and you
is
can
not
reuse
the idea.
Them, too, right?
Exactly. Yes, you can.
Oh, my gosh. This is amazing. So what are some of your favorite things to cook for? Are you a member? Do you share?
I do all the time. So I have, you know, I have these odd moments, you know, we don't really think of ourselves in startup terms or, you know, founder, co-founder, or, you know, all these kind of terms. It's just people sharing food.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of reminded fairly frequently, you know, in the middle of some ostensibly important meeting that I have to run to the supermarket to get some food to make someone dinner that I don't know very often. Yeah, so you know, I have to get back shortly and get cooking.
Okay.
Some peasant number, I believe.
What are you going to make?
I don't know. You know, I get stuck on kind of, you know, Italian and French peasant stuff. It's really simple, it's deeply satisfying and rewarding, and all those foods that you know that have been improved, you know, year after year, you know,
by generation after
generation. Yeah, you know, I just don't think you can knock them. And I think then we have these kind of periodically we have these kind of fusion ideas which they don't flick my switch.
So what are some peasant dishes from France and Italy that you like?
So you'll see it, you know, it's terrible because, you know, you'll now go to the site and know precisely which ones are my fault. Cassoulet is a favorite, you know, anything, you know, Italian, countryside, you know, whether it's a ribollita or, you know,
Those are the two things I was going to say, actually.
I'm insanely attached to that sort of stuff. I'm very limited at cooking, however, but I try my damnedest.
Well, it sounds like you get a lot of experience and
I get
it can only
so
get
much
better.
Experience. It can only get better. One of the great things about this, too, though, is the ability to try.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're part of something where, you know, this is a cooperative. So, you know, if anyone gets on the phone and complains a la, you know, consumer mentality, we quickly put the phone down on them.
Right.
So this is, you know, you're cooperating with other people and therefore, you know, if you cook something that actually doesn't turn out that good, but you've tried really hard, you should still be rewarded for
it. Right, right. And
you still made an effort.
And by the way, so people can choose what the meal is beforehand. So it's not like a surprise.
It's not a surprise.
CSA package, this is what we got. You know, like it's you know, it's well detailed on the site. Everyone can talk about their brilliant creations. And
well, I just tell the story of it. I mean, just, you know, and I think that's one of our big challenges with food is
and they're
is
not
that we
selling
don't,
it.
They're not selling it. And it's a connection that, so we're writing about food that means something, mm-hmm. as opposed to stuff that means nothing to us and therefore we're happy to waste.
So this meant something to
absolutely,
someone.
You know, and yeah. I think that's the beautiful thing about food is that if, you know, if it does mean something, it's not just, you know, it's not just the nutritional impact, but the story and the context that means so much in
the family recipe, perhaps,
yeah.
and so forth.
And we, you know, we're hearing lots of stories like that. You
cool.
know, this is something that I used to have in this context, and that's it's just nice.
Mm-hmm. And you can literally take in something else as you eat it.
Yeah,
some
absolutely.
Little bit of
and we, you know, and that's the problem. Sorry. We don't have that with any industrial food, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's anything. We don't have the chance to get behind it.
Well, I think that a lot of people get sucked up in the story of, say, a hot new restaurant because they read about it and they have to go try it, and it's so
yeah.
more satisfying to have some background and they read about it. And
yeah,
it, like has the, you have these mental kind of ideas and stories in your head, and that is like one of the biggest attractions for eating anything, perhaps.
I would debate whether people are going to, you know, flash in new restaurants, you know, because of the storytelling with the food. I think they're going there to be seen.
Well, that too, you know, but also if it weren't written about in the New York Times, for instance,
sure.
then who cares?
Sure.
It wouldn't be trendy.
No, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely
true. I don't know. That's one side of the coin, I guess.
It is.
So what is something that you like to, okay, I already asked that. But
that's okay.
okay, next.
Shall I share some more?
Move on.
I love Indian food as well.
I ask this to everyone, but what would you say is the perfect ultimate date meal, in your opinion?
Oh, crikey.
I thought you said you were in Australia.
So having been married for nearly 18 years.
Okay.
And this is where you're meant to say, I don't believe you're that old, but I am.
Mm-hmm.
I can't begin that. I don't know. You know, I've not, you know, the ultimate date meal, it doesn't register for me because, you know, the ultimate date meal is when my wife and myself and our two sons and the dog sit down, in which case it's probably something, you know, back to my peasant dishes or, you know, you know, a lasagna or something. My wife is of Indian Goan descent, and therefore, you know, you'll get some miraculous little number, some Konkani number with you know, delicious balanced spices and
Konkani. What's
Konkani?
It?
It's a language that's
okay,
spoken in
it.
Southern India.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, do your kids ever eat out in restaurants?
Yeah. So you know, but obviously less mm-hmm. less so. I mean, we have a whole food network on our doorstep, but I think that's one of the motivations. The expectation rarely matching the reality mm-hmm. when you go into a restaurant, and you know, getting that standard specials diatribe with, you know, the necessary something has to do with a bed of arugula somewhere, and then you get it, and it's, you know, not always, but a lot of the time it's like, shit, you know, I could do this much better myself.
Sauces with butter and
yeah, you know,
something.
Congratulations.
Salt. Yeah. That's all it is, salt. Yeah,
there's salt and butter involved, and then a long description that's completely unnecessary.
So how often do you get deliveries from Milku right now?
Oh, I do it 3 or 4 times a week.
Really?
I guess, yeah.
Because I was trying to think about the average kind of cycle, because I'm thinking, oh, you know, if I were to do this, I'd probably cook a lot for 1 week.
Yeah.
And then get, you know, deliveries a few times that week, and then maybe cook just something small for, I don't know, for myself. And
It's hard for us to tell kind of patterns yet, and there are so many different reasons from people who, you know, who don't want to waste, from people who, you know, are looking for particular food tribes, you know, from people who, you know, who just don't have time,
right,
and are trying to balance those time demands. So we see very, very different usage patterns. It's very, very hard to tell. I think what we've got a cooperative currency.
Okay.
In the system, yeah, so we balance, you know, so you know, whatever you offer, you get points for. Whatever
right.
you order, you lose points, and we try and balance it out. And that's only to, you know, to keep, you know, to maintain good behaviors, be
so
cooperative.
It does seem like it. So many different food philosophies are intersected, or could be potentially intersected with this project, because it makes them more practical. Like you were saying before, people who are gluten-free
yeah.
do not have that many choices. They couldn't eat a pizza here and
yeah.
so forth.
Yeah.
So this makes a lot of sense to have other like-minded, not like-minded, but I don't know.
Like-preferenced. No, absolutely. Yes. No, it's absolutely right. And I think we're
cooks
seeing...
We're
seeing that from a needs basis, from a preference basis, from a... You know, we've got a group that's just emerging that's a triathlon group.
Oh.
So, you know,
oh,
you're about
yeah.
so you just
so
think about,
a lot
you know...
of carbs.
Yeah, so what do they need?
Cool.
And how should they best get it? Well, by looking after each other. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, recovery, preparation... recovery, whatever it is you do when you do those things.
So say I want to join, but yeah. I'm scared about making a lot. Like how many meals can I share? As many, like one?
As many as you want. As little as you want, as many as you want. It's totally your call. I think this begins and ends on cook preference.
Right.
So, you know, what do you happen to be doing? We're not asking for new behaviors in cooking. We're saying, you know, use what you have.
Right.
Let's begin there. Let's not insist that people, you know, start something that they're not already doing, but let's build out from what people already do.
Of course. And I realize that this is still very much in its new phase. So everybody's figuring it out. So I'm sure they'll
find tell
its
us.
Own groove eventually.
I hope so.
Do you ever have instances where there's a meal up there that just never gets claimed? And,
oh, totally.
Yeah, it happens.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I have to fess up, you know, I've cooked things myself that, you know
nobody,
people have
yeah.
turned their nose up at. So you know, it's just like the home, you know, kitchen table. So you put something down that people don't like, well, they didn't like it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Then you try another night and they like it and they say thank you. And how do you know they say thank you? Well, because they finished the plate.
Got it.
You know, so it's very much cook preference.
I'm so excited to try this out. And anyone can. Oh, but you give a thorough.
We give so you'll receive a call. You can start ordering food without us, you know, checking
see.
You out.
Okay.
You can start to kind of test it. But if you know, if you want to start cooking, we're going to go through food safety. We're going to make sure that you're not a crazy person.
Right. And so for now, if I accept deliveries, there's just a small monthly fee
to join? Right now, there isn't any fee whatsoever.
Okay.
And that's about as sustainable as the Titanic. we'll be changing that. For the moment, you know, join. It's complimentary on us. We have to pay it forward for you to pay it forward eventually.
Is it going to be a non-profit? Is that something that you're aiming for?
It's going to be a social enterprise. So we have to make this viable.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a great new B Corp status, which allows us to straddle both, you know, to make this a sustainable business without, you know, the path, what's it, the path to something is paved with good intentions. I can't remember what it is. But it's one of those things where we need to be both well-intentioned and well-organized and, you know, make sure that it's viable. So
absolutely.
A B Corp, I think, is where we're going to end up on this. Yeah.
Cool. And yeah. Are you partnering with any other organizations?
Tons.
Too many.
You know, CSAs, you know,
we
cross
yeah.
over, you know, a lot of different, again, you can
hungry
have like
food initiatives.
Yeah. Yeah, Jamie Oliver, we're closely aligned with Jamie Oliver Food Foundation. So there's lots where just by being normal and sharing what you've got, we can improve things. Be normal.
Be normal. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ted,
for
sharing this. I'm very excited for this new venture. And it's been wonderfully inspiring.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, have a great day and getting back to the kitchen. And thanks, everyone, here at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Let's Eat In.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is the most trusted media outlet for real, quality conversations about food. That experience will come to life at our first annual members-only fundraiser party on September 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Enjoy the best food in the world from talent including Michael Anthony, award-winning chef from Gramercy Tavern, Brooks Headley, award-winning pastry chef from Del Posto, Shauna Pacifico at Back 40 West, sustainable seafood from Sea to Table, and much more, including drinks made by Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues, craft beer from Greenpoint Harbor Brewery, wine from Cane Vineyard and Winery in the Napa Valley, and plenty more. Radio is back, and this will be a special, exclusive experience in the back garden of Roberta's that you don't want to miss. September 9th, 5 to 8 p.m. Buy tickets at heritageradionetwork.eventbrite.com.